Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our second reading today comes from Philemon. There is no chapter. It's just verses 1 to 21 because it's just one chapter. A little backstory on the book of Philemon. It is one of the shortest books, if not the shortest book, in the entire Bible. But let's not underestimate its power. Speaking to his brother Philemon, who was a well-to-do person who had slaves, which was common in those days, Philemon had become a church leader. Onesimus was a slave of Philemon, and he cheated on Philemon and ends up meeting Paul, who converts him and loves him while Paul is in prison. Now, Paul tries to convince Philemon to take Onesimus back. How? Well, that's the lesson we will get into. But now hear from Paul's letter to Philemon and the church under his care, beginning in verse 1. This letter is from Paul, a prisoner for preaching the good news about Jesus Christ, and from our brother Timothy. I am writing to Philemon, our beloved co-worker, and to your sister Aphia, and to our fellow soldier Archippus, and to the church that meets in your house. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. I always thank my God when I pray for you, Philemon, because I keep hearing about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all of God's people. And I am praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith, as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. Your love has given me much joy and comfort, my brother, for your kindness has often refreshed the hearts of God's people. That is why I am boldly asking a favor of you. I could demand it in the name of Christ because it is the right thing for you to do. But because of our love, I prefer simply to ask you. Consider this as a request from me, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner for the sake of Christ Jesus. I appeal to you to show kindness to my child, Onesimus. I became his father in the faith while here in prison. Onesimus hasn't been of much use to you in the past, but now he's very useful to both of us. I'm sending him back to you, and with him comes my own heart. I wanted to keep him here with me while I am in these chains for preaching the good news, and he would have helped me on your behalf. But I didn't want to do anything without your consent. I wanted you to help because you were willing, not because you were forced. It seems you lost Onesimus for a little while so that you could have him back forever. He is no longer a slave to you. He is more than a slave, for he is a beloved brother, especially to me. Now he will mean much more to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, write this with my own hand, and I will repay it, and I won't mention that you owe me your very soul. Yes, my brother, please do this as a favor for the Lord's sake. Give me this encouragement in Christ. I am confident, as I write this letter, that you will do what I asked and even more. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, may this word that we've read and that we hear be in our hearts, sustaining us, binding us, helping us to know what the deeper aspects of your love are in Christ Jesus. Amen. I was thinking about letters this week, and people hardly write letters anymore. Oh, we might dash off a line or two occasionally. Some old-fashioned folks might send a thank you note after attending a dinner party or receive a gift in the mail. But the long handwritten letter seems to be a thing of the past, or at least an endangered species. Especially now, I worry about our kids because they're not even taught how to do cursive writing in many schools. It is not that we lack communication. Communication seems to be pouring into our lives like an overpowering sort of Niagara Falls of information that leaves us struggling to keep our heads above the rising water. Email boxes fill up with requests and demands and jokes and trivia and spam by the minute. And many of us have three voicemails, one at work, one at home, and one on our cell phone, all blinking at us at the same time. It wasn't always like this, though. You remember some of the olden days. Some of you might remember that. I know you're all very young, so maybe not, you know. But I sort of do, I will admit. Like even just a few years ago, when you might occasionally have something as quaint as a handwritten letter waiting in your mailbox. How many of you, when you see that, just, oh, you know, it's so shocking, right? Well, a few years ago, I received a letter from my then little 8-year-old grandson thanking me for his birthday gift that I sent. It was written in second grade handwriting. That letter meant so much to me. It was such a tender gift to me. And I take my grandmothering seriously. In fact, it's a very important call in my life. It's right up there with helping children, younger children, to know and receive the values of our Christian faith and the history and to know Jesus. But I digress. Now, I've saved that letter along with many letters that I've received from those I love. At home, I have two boxes, literally dozens and dozens of handwritten letters from many years past, from my loved ones, from my family members, and from my parents. And I also have, in another box, dozens and dozens of handwritten cards and letters from parishioners over the years of serving now 14 churches. And I cherish every single one of them. Those who thanked me and encouraged me or consoled me during hard times. Those who helped me make decisions. Those who I have encouraged or consoled along the way. I have letters from my children when they were small even. And these letters kept in a boxes with dozens of other memorabilia, when I sit down, I don't do it often, and I take a look at them, they console me. They comfort me. Just knowing they wait for me in that unique handwriting of each person that belonged to those people I knew, those people I loved, is a balm to my soul and encouragement for my faith. Christianity finds a particular identity in letters. Much of our unique scripture of the New Testament is made up of letters, this one being one of the shortest letter. The epistles, as we used to call them in my church growing up, are holy letters taking us to ancient Rome, to house churches, and to prison cells. And they reveal personal struggles. They help us glimpse the intimacy of community life. For instance, in the book of Philippians, Paul writes to two women. In chapter 4, I urge Euodia and Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Here were two bickering church ladies getting a scolding from Paul, and were told to get along for Christ's sake. And I mean that literally. It leaves us wondering what Paul would think if he knew we were reading his mail some 2,000 plus years later, right? I also wonder if an email would have been as eloquent or even would have survived those years. In the letter that we read this morning, we have a heartfelt plea from Paul written from his prison cell. He writes to his friends and emphasizes the words, "I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand." He pleads with his friend Philemon on behalf of a slave that Paul has taken in, Onesimus, into his heart, in a way that transformed an upended social status, because, you know, we don't do that with slaves in those days. This young man now holds a special place in Paul's heart as his own child. So he is cashing in on all the favors Philemon owes him. He asks him not only to receive Onesimus back again, but to receive him not as a slave. And here's the key to this whole text: but not even as a friend, but to receive him as a brother in the partnership of Christ. Now, the word here is koinonia. It means equal partners. It's not an idea. It's not an idea. Koinonia is not an idea. It's something we do. Paul led Onesimus to Jesus. So Paul requests Philemon to bring him back as a brother, a family member, because of koinonia, partnership. Paul is changing the world one person at a time through a letter, written in love from his heart and with his own hand. Christians have esteemed that this is a sacred thing. You see, Paul puts himself in place of Jesus Christ as absorbing the sin. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. God forgives us, and so we are to forgive others. Koinonia means we are equal partners sharing the same need to be forgiven. There is no slave or free, Paul writes in another text. The only slaves are those who are enslaved by a lie, by evil that says that we do not need to forgive our actions, or that we haven't done anything wrong, or that our thoughts are not even evil, nor do we need to forgive others. That's a lie. Once Onesimus was free from the sin, he became an equal, just that quickly. A letter is a sacred thing and a powerful thing, especially when it is written in love and intended to soften hearts, open minds, and change the world. My question is, what if we lose the power of the handwritten letter? I think it would be a loss of underestimated magnitude. At a deep level, it would be a loss to the soul. And even more, what if we lose the power of storytelling that inspires and lights a fire in our hearts and educates and informs how to be a better person, how to have a bigger dream? In his letter, he doesn't talk about Jesus' death and resurrection in this little book of Philemon, as he does in his other letters. He doesn't talk about it. He demonstrates it in Koinonia. Good news stories are personal, but they are not private. Telling our stories, you see, encourages others. So since I've been here, as an aside, in the 3 short months, I have already received two beautiful handwritten cards and notes. This has been so encouraging to me. I think that when we do that in community, it's very powerful. Yet I look around and I wonder, is the world so caught up in expectations? Are churches so caught up in expectations and committee work and meetings and worrying about this and that and finances and dead-end programming that we have forgotten the relational power of storytelling, even through letters? Handwritten pages is a story that can be shared at the right moment. And this is what Paul inspired and what Jesus did with the people he served when he walked on this earth. Letters of love, storytelling that connects us deeply. That is relational ministry. When I share a little of my faith or a little of my story here and there, or my beliefs or my challenges and what I see as a powerful calling in my life, I'm sharing a little bit of my story to move. And when you do that, you're doing that with one another and with me. To move the question even deeper, we might ask, what happens when electronic communication replaces not only the handwritten letter, but what happens when electronic communication also replaces real life interaction? What happens to incarnation, to the ways God is uniquely revealed when we are together in community? What happens to the soul when we begin to opt out, co-opt human interaction with a virtual reality? Well, I think we know. These are questions the church must ask, that we must help the world to ask in this high-speed digital age that had once shut us down and forced us to live that way. It is true that there are ways in which it behooves us to embrace the technology that is now part of our culture. I'm not against technology, not at all. I showed you last week, I was the social media queen at one church that I worked in. There are many good things about that, miraculous things even, and it can serve a purpose. But on the other hand, maybe it is okay to be moving a little bit more slowly in the church than the culture would demand. We in church still do the hard, slow, clumsy, and often inconvenient work of actually being together. Perhaps that's the unique message that we as the church, and I'm not talking just our church, I'm talking the church universal, perhaps that is the message of community that people long for so much. Sometimes they don't even know it. We go about such dated activities like, oh, we sing together, and we read aloud the ancient writings of the Bible, and we even sit in silence together with not a pixel or a megabyte to help us. We still notice such subtleties as the pregnant pause, a silent voice, the folded arms, a nodding of the head, a smile. However, we are not entirely sheltered from this digital age. Email still flies among us, even in the church. Too often we write and read when we're busy, distracted, or annoyed, and occasionally we react to those emails too quickly. Even at church, we can blurt out our busyness with no time or chance to care about how someone's day might be going. No cues about their health or well-being. No personal presence or touch. Neither in emails or in in-person meetings. And that can hurt. It can be a sharp, cold, electronic words that come at us. And this really concerns me, that we pause and remember how important it is to have that connectedness when we speak to one another. This new virtual world demands that we take far greater care with one another and be very conscious of that, and give far greater respect to the sacredness of interpersonal interaction. considering this, that we slow down if we can, at least from time to time. And if your paper is dusty and your quill is dry, just for old time's sake, if not for the sake of your own soul, stop and think and feel and wonder, and then write a letter, even if it's to yourself. There is something about the writing. I do it all the time. Not just sending letters out, but just writing, that heals the soul. A letter of love, a letter of conviction, a letter of passion by your own hand. Let us take more opportunities to actually touch one another and speak real, not virtual words, to open hearts, to soften the hard edges of our digital life. I can't tell you how much this has meant to me over the years as an interim minister. I'm here for a season or two or three or four, however many seasons it's going to be. And often we interim ministers don't get to see the fruit of the work that we try to build in these years. And it's hard work. It's very hard work. It's having to help churches through their deepest sorrows, celebrate their greatest joys, and move through the fear of changes and shifts. It's perhaps the most difficult ministry beyond my time as a university chaplain and also a hospice chaplain or even an RN in the hospital. It's very, very hard work. Whenever someone thanks me in a letter written in their own handwriting, I'm moved. I feel connected. I'm inspired. And that letter gets saved, I will assure you. And when we share our stories at coffee hour, when we see each other and share our stories with one another and reframe our thinking and dream bigger, we are encouraged. Because in doing that, we will do nothing short of revealing God to one another, and we share in God's vision through Jesus Christ, a vision of a new humanity. Amen.